Well, hello there. Welcome once again. I've got a good word for you today. Oh, this is what God has laid on my heart, and I'm just anxious can be to share it with you. I'll start off with a question I got here, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. The question is, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? If you died today, you'd go to heaven. That's the question. Let's have a short word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon this message. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise Thee and I lift up Thy holy name. And I ask You, Lord God, that You would give me wisdom, that You would give me utterance, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that those who hear this message today, that their hearts will be wide open to it, Lord. That they'd understand the urgency of this moment, Lord. And that these words that I speak, Lord, that You have placed in my heart, will find lodging in those needy hearts. Lord God, I ask this in the name of Your dear Son, my precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. So, Did you know that hell, H-E-L-L, that hell has been enlarged? Did you know that? Oh, I didn't know that. Why would they want to do that? I thought God already knew how many were going to hell. Ooh. Never question God. God knew what He was doing. God knows everything He has done, everything He's doing now, and everything He will do tomorrow. He knows you from yesterday, today, all the way up to tomorrow and beyond. So, did you know hell has been enlarged? So, the question then would follow, but why? Why is hell enlarged? Well, the answer is just as simple as the question. Because the number of Christ's rejectors are increasing daily. Because the number of Christ's rejectors, those that are not sure of salvation, get that, not sure of their salvation, is growing. It's growing. We'll find out more about that. You know, that's a terrible thing to have to think, but it's even more terrible to have to say it. You don't want to hear that, do you? Well, as terrible as it may sound, it's true. It's downright true. You know, there are over 7 billion people in this here world today. Over 7 billion. And although only God knows the true number, estimates are growing for the hellbound. Billions. Can you imagine that? Billions of those over 7 billion. Would you believe? Billions? Would you believe it? Ah! The Word of God speaks of a straight and narrow way that only a few will take. But also He mentions a broad way that will, well, far outnumber the narrow. Far out. That makes me sad. When I think, you know, there's that narrow road, that narrow way that God has provided for all who will believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, repent and give themselves over, that narrow way is reserved just for them. But then there's the broad way. The broad way, well, it's just there. And it'll accommodate as many people as is necessary. So, the question you have to ask yourself, which road are you going to be on? The narrow road or the broad road with all the Christ rejectors? You got that? Now, you say that's incredible, right? You're thinking that in your mind. Wait, I don't know if I can fathom that. That is entirely, it's incredible. Well, how can that be? How can that be? So, when you hear the figures, like I just mentioned, billions, what do you say to yourself? What do you think in your mind? Could it be, oh, I'm glad I'm saved. and going to heaven. Well, you know, that's what I think. In my mind, I not only think I'm saved and going to heaven, I know I'm saved and going to heaven. And by the end of this message, I pray you will know for sure too. I pray you will know for sure. Isn't that great? That's great just to know you're going to heaven. Not to, well, I lived a pretty good life, or I don't know why I wouldn't. I ask people this all the time over at seniors home where I preach sometime. You know, are you sure if you die today you go to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, I hope you do too. But let's make sure. It's a simple thing to make sure. The only thing is, and that's what I just ask you, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure of heaven? Or are you, and here's the title of my message coming up right here, are you living a lie? Are you living a lie? Of all the testimonies I've heard over the years, look, I wouldn't pay a plug nickel for at least 90% of them. I wouldn't. So right away you say, who are you to tell me I'm not saved and I'm not going to heaven? Who are you? And my response to you is, well, I'm nobody. Nobody. My response is, did I tell you that you weren't saved and going to heaven? Did I? Did I look you in the eye and say, you're not saved, you ain't going to heaven? I don't know that, especially when I first meet you. Now, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and read a verse of Scripture here. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Listen very closely, because this is what the message is all about. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. The Word of God says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Whew! I mean, do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is in you, that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? Do you know that for sure? If you're not absolutely sure, chances are you're lying to yourself, or you're a reprobate. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Now, why do you think God had the Apostle Paul include this verse of Scripture in the Word of God? By the time we get to the end of this message, I promise you will understand. No two ways about it. You will have no excuse. So I suggest you just hang in there a little longer and hear what's being said. I appreciate it. You know, there's a great multitude of self-righteous people walking around on this earth today, flaunting the salvation they think they have. Oh, they never repented. Most of them simply repeated the sinner's prayer during an invitation in some church building, and then carried on with their everyday style of living. There's no change. They continue on as per usual. But they believe that because they kneel before some church member or pastor or priest and repeat it after him, a 10-cent prayer, then they're saved and on their way to heaven, when in reality they're on that broad road which leads to an eternal hell. Have you got that? Oh, I pray that's not you on that broad road. Oh, no. God have mercy. God have mercy. People, if this is you, there's a strong possibility you are no closer to heaven than you were before you walked that aisle and heard that prayer, before you thought you were saved. You're not saved. You never were. And unless you follow the warnings that God has placed in His holy book, then you are on the fast track to a fiery hell. It's that simple. While the plan of salvation is basically simple, it must also be basically from the heart. God looks upon the heart. Not on your lips, on the heart. So here's your clue. Here's your clue. Listen carefully. If you have truly repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He suffered and died for you on Calvary's cross, according to the Scriptures, then at that very moment when you believe, when God, the Father, draws you to His Son, guess what happens? Then the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and dwells inside you to convict you of your sinful condition. In other words, it's time to clean house. That same Spirit also strengthens you daily as you pray for His guidance. If you are truly saved, you will not be able to live your life as you did before. You will become a new creature in Christ, your Redeemer. You'll become a new creature. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the Scripture tells us. I'm not saying you will never sin again now. What I am saying is that the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. You see, once you receive Christ, that time when you're officially born again, then you become spiritually seated in the heaven. Spiritually, you're already there. The flesh, your body, is still subjected to sin and is at enmity with God. But your spirit is anchored with Him in glory and can never, never, ever be lost. When Christ returns at the rapture, you will receive a new body, just like His. Since your old body is racked with sin, before it can enter heaven, it has to be changed. It must be changed. Sin cannot enter into heaven. Now your soul, your spirit, you have been saved spiritually, but what, don't you want a body when you get to heaven like Christ has one? So you can sup with Him and you can do the things that He does? Don't you want a body like His? I do. Now even though you are saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, says the Word of God, the issue of sin will still torment you. Until Christ returns. The issue of sin. It'll bother you. You do something wrong. It'll bother you. However, the Bible tells us that when we do sin, that means after salvation now, when we do sin, then we have an advocate with the Father through Christ Jesus. Okay? All right. Now, if we look at the book of John, John chapter 2, verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what we read. Listen carefully. My little children, these things write I unto you. Now we're all His children once we are saved. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2, and He, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, also for the sin of the whole wide world. Amen? Sounds good to me. He doesn't say, if you're saved, well, you won't sin anymore. Well, you won't actually spiritually, but you will fleshly. What he's saying, that ye sin not. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, which you will, then we have an advocate with the Father. You understand? Until we get our new bodies, then we'll be completely sin-free. Understand this, please. Please understand this and tell it to all whom you witness to. It's imperative that when you witness to someone and they open their heart, they open their mind to you, that you feed them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just part of it, but all of it. That Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. A lot of Bibles leave out begotten. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, not go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's God's promise through Jesus Christ to all who repent and believe. Believe that Christ died on that cruel cross. And His atonement was and still is. Still is. That's important. For the sins of the whole world. This includes every man, every woman, every child on the face of the earth. Now, many don't realize that their sins are already under the blood of Christ. All they have to do is repent, which means turn to Christ and believe the gospel. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, He didn't just die for those who are saved or getting saved. He died for the whole world, the sin of the world, once for all. So all you got to do is believe it, essentially. Believe that Christ died for your sins. And repent and believe. Repent and believe. That's not hard to do. It's that simple. God made it simple. It's at this time, it's at this very time when you give your life to Christ that the Holy Spirit enters inside you to give you direction. The directions you so vitally need to follow Christ. And strength, the strength you need to overcome the sin that doth so easily beset you. No good works are needed. You must understand that. I'm not talking about works at all. There's no works needed here. It's free for the asking. Totally free. For asking and believing in what Jesus did for you. Now we come to the issue that so many have trouble with. And yet it's so easy to understand. I've talked on this issue several times already, okay? Repentance. First of all, what does the Word of God say about repentance? Let's turn in our King James Bible to the book of Luke. Luke 13. And the heading for this chapter is Jesus' call to repentance. And we'll read verses 1 to 5. Verses 1 to 5. Now, if you don't have a Bible, just listen carefully and follow along with me, okay? That's Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Jesus' call to repentance. There were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? He's asking if you suppose. That's why they were sinners above all sinners, because they suffered all these things. I tell you, nay. Now, these are the words of Jesus. I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Do you? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those five verses, what do they bring to the forefront? What word, what needful word do they bring to the forefront? Repent, repent. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, a lot of people are trying to make an issue of this here. No, that's works. That's work salvation. That's not work salvation. Works is doing something. That's not doing anything except changing your mind. You're walking down the road that way, you turn around, walk back that way, but you're not going to lift any stones along the way. You're not going to dig a ditch anywhere. You're not going to work for it. All you're going to do is believe. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Understand this, please, and tell it to all whom you witness to. All whom you witness to. Now let us turn back one book to the book of Mark. Mark 1, okay? Mark 7, Mark 1. Okay, Mark 1, verse 15. Listen very carefully. Mark 1, verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, there are those who insist that repentance comes after salvation. No. No. This is incorrect. Now let us read it. Let us read it. What Jesus is saying here. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Did he say believe the gospel and repent? No. He said repent ye and believe the gospel. Notice he did not say believe the gospel and repent. Don't get it backwards. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The repentance or the salvation? You can't have salvation until you repent. The problem is, too many people tend to equate repentance with works. No. No. Repentance is a change of mind and direction. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Before you can be saved, you must believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To believe, you must turn and change your way of thinking about what Christ did to redeem you. You don't have to work for it. It's absolutely free. Always was, is now, and always will be. It's free for the asking. Don't get confused with Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think people incorporate the works part of this verse into the actual accepting Christ as your Savior, and get a little bit confused there, but no. It's nothing to do with works. All right? In God's grace, it's God's grace plus nothing. God's grace plus nothing. Your faith, get this now, your faith is activated by your repentance, and the gift of grace is free. Two main topics that you that will see many a soul in hell. They are repentance and grace if they are totally misunderstood. Now that may sound strange, but hear me out. We're almost at the end of this message. Hear me out. There's nothing complicated about them. Nothing. We are saved by grace through faith. But without repentance, neither grace or faith are accessible. You got that? Without repentance, neither grace or faith are accessible. Let me put it as simply as I can. Let us say you are walking down a wide path, okay? But it's not the path you believe you will take or that will take you where you want to go. In fact, you want to go in the opposite direction. Although the way you are going seems that it might be the way you should go. Why? Because so many other people are going that way. Why? Because they do not have the true word of God, and confusion, which is only of the devil, not of God, has set in. They are confused. And let us say that you, a child of the King, already saved, are standing by the path. You ask the person where they are going, and he says, I am going to salvation. But you say, but have you been to repentance? And his reply is, no. Why do you ask? And you respond with, well, in order to get to salvation, you must turn around and go through repentance first. And he says, well, all my friends are going to salvation, so I must be going the right way. People, may I refer you to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And these final words, and I'll close. People, are you certain beyond any doubt, not just beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond any doubt, time is running out, that if you were to die today, You know that you are taking the straight gate and the narrow way? Or are you following after the multitudes who are blindly entering in at the wide gate that leadeth to eternal destruction? Don't just be reasonably sure when you know you can be sure in fact. And the fact of the matter is found in 2 Corinthians 13:5, which we've already read. Examine yourselves to see if you really are in the faith. These are the desires of your will. Ask yourself this final question. Are the desires of your will in alignment with God's directions? Are the desires of your will in line with God's directions? Let me ask you once again, are you sure, or are you living a lie? Thank you for listening. God bless.